St. Peter was quite clever when he approached our Lord and asked, "When a brother sinned against me, how often must I forgive? As many as seven times?" Now, the number seven has a beautiful significance because the scripture has revealed to us that God took 6 days to create, and on the seventh day, he rested. And so number seven has become a symbol of completion. God has done his work. But the scripture also tells us that God, after he created, he rested. And then he looked at his creation and he said, "It is good." Now, I think we all know that God doesn't get tired. So it's not like the scripture is saying, after creating for 6 days, God was tired and he needed to rest. What the scripture means to tell us is that God pauses and admires his creation, and he says, "It is good." And so God commands his people through Moses that on the seventh day, the Sabbath day, everyone needs to take a break from the daily routines and rest. Well, what it means for us as we come to church to make the Sabbath day holy, because the Sabbath day for us is Sunday, the day of the resurrection of our Lord. The reason why we are here, one of the reasons why we are here, is because it's the day of rest. It's the day when the Lord God pauses and admires his creation and says, "It is good." And so it becomes a day for us to take away from all of the things that we do in this life and pause and admire God, so that we can all together declare, "God is good." Isn't this what lovers do? Lovers just look at each other, admire one another, and say, "It's good." But the Lord Jesus' response is that not seven times, which is a perfect, complete number, but 77 times. Now, the number 70 also has its significance. When Abraham was blessed by God to have a son in Isaac, he was 70 years old. Of course, it took God's miraculous power to make it happen. When the people of Israel took refuge in Egypt because of a famine, there were 70 of them who came to Egypt. And from that 70, God made them multiply into hundreds of thousands, so many that the Pharaoh was fearful of them and he enslaved them. You know the rest of that story. And so number 70 throughout scriptures, all the Israelites know this, symbolized the miraculous power of God. And so the Lord's answer is not seven times a perfect, complete number, but 77 times, meaning you must forgive always. And you must forgive always by the miraculous power of God, because the Lord Jesus knows we can't do it. But with the power of God, we must strive to forgive always. And then the Lord Jesus goes on and tells of the parable of the master, of course, God, who forgives the debt of his servant. One of his servants owed him a huge amount, but he had pity on him and he forgave him the whole debt. And the servant promptly turned around and demanded a fellow servant to pay back his debt a much smaller amount. And so the Lord Jesus is saying to us, we must forgive because God forgives us all the time, always. Now, one of the reasons why it is so hard for us to forgive is because, you see, when someone wrongs us, then we have the illusion that we are in the right. Meaning, I am superior to you. You have wronged me, you are in the wrong. I am right. I am better than you. So as long as I do not forgive you and hold on to this wrong that you have done to me, I feel that I am superior to you. But the Lord Jesus reveals to us that if we are honest to ourselves, then we realize that every one of us is on the same boat. Every one of us has done wrong. In fact, while our brother wrongs us, if we are honest, we will realize that I have wronged my father along the way in my life. I've wronged my mother along the way in my life. I've wronged my brother. I've wronged my sister. I've wronged my teacher. I have wronged my neighbor. I have wronged my employer. I've wronged my employee. I have wronged me. I have wronged God. I have done wrong. Maybe nobody knows it, but God does, and I do. And so the Lord Jesus is simply pointing out to us a reality, a truth that all of us must look at. The reason why we must forgive one another is God forgives us, and because all of us are on the same boat, sinners who have wronged and in need of forgiveness from God and from each other. One of the most beautiful stories of forgiveness is the story of St. Maria Goretti, who was 13 years old, born to an Italian poor farming family. The next door neighbor, his name was Alessandro, I think he was 20 some years old, took a fancy to Maria. And one day when everybody was in the farm, in the field, Alessandro approached Maria and wanted to take advantage of her. She resisted vehemently. She pushed him away, and the whole time she kept saying, "God does not want this. God does not want this." In a rage, Alessandro went out into the barn and took a pick and went to Maria and stabbed her 14 times and left her for dead. When they discovered her, they put her in a horse carriage to go to the hospital, the nearest hospital, an hour and a half away. Imagine, 13-year-old with 14 open wounds, bleeding to death, excruciating pains with the rocking, you know, the bumping of the horse cart. All the way to the hospital, Maria Goretti kept crying out, "I do not want Alessandro to go to hell. I do not want Alessandro to go to hell." And she died after excruciating pain, loss of blood. Alessandro was sentenced to 27 years in prison. While in prison, he had a vision of Maria. Maria appeared to him with 14 lilies, and one by one, she gave him the lilies, as if to say, I forgive you, one lily for each stab wound. Alessandro was converted. After he was freed from prison, he went looking for Maria's mother to ask for her forgiveness. Once he received it, he stayed and took care of Maria's mother until she died. Alessandro worked around the nearby church as a janitor and spent hours in prayers, in repentance for his sin. He became one of the main, if not the main, witnesses of Maria's canonization. On the day when the Pope canonized Saint Maria Goretti in Rome, there were hundreds of thousands of people there, and there was a kneeler in the front with an old man, Alessandro, kneeling there in front of all the people, sobbing throughout the whole ceremony. My brothers and sisters, maybe this is the difference between us and the saints, because the saints are able to forgive in such a beautiful way. But we must strive to forgive, because this is what the Lord Jesus teaches us. It is very difficult, but we can do so with the miraculous power of God. Oh, consider when we go to heaven. Imagine that you are at the pearly gates and Saint Peter is about to let you in heaven, and you look and you saw your mother-in-law in there, and you say to Saint Peter, Saint Peter, there's my mother-in-law, can you make sure that my house in heaven is on the other end of heaven from where her house is? Can you imagine that? That's not how heaven works, right? So when people ask me, Father C, how long do we spend in purgatory? One of the answers is we will spend as long as we can forgive all. Because the only way to enter heaven is to forgive all. And so, my brothers and sisters, it turns out that the Lord Jesus is teaching us how to prepare for heaven. Not to forgive those who sin against us 7 times, but 77 times. So as we come to the Holy Eucharist this morning, let us bring to the Lord our unforgiveness. Let us bring to the altar all the people in our lives that we have not yet been able to forgive, and ask the Lord Jesus in the Holy Eucharist to give us his miraculous power, so that we, throughout all of our lives, prepare for heaven by forgiving 77 times.